the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is that word balloon to my expository dialogue, Kyle Krause.
Hi, I'm the yellow text in your head.
You know what? If I were to become Deadpool, I would want you to be my little yellow boxes.
Would you be? The yellow boxes were like the more, were the less crazy boxes, right? I don't remember.
It depends on which writer and which run.
I guess so, yeah. I seem to remember like the yellow boxes were more of the logical mind, I guess. Kinda. I don't know.
It varies. I think one of my favorite moments is where he says, "Am I back to normal? Do I have the little yellow boxes? We're good. Ah, you're back. What adventures we shall have."
It's true. I am, in fact, little yellow boxes.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I am tired because last week was amazing.
You had a whirlwind tour.
I did. For those of you who don't know, and if you're listening to the show, I'm not quite sure how, but hey, we'll bring you up to speed. The fine folks over at Sega of America flew me out to L.A. to be part of a PR promotional bit, which included appearing on their biweekly live stream. You can find that at, I forget the YouTube channel's link exactly, but they're on Twitch at twitch.tv/SonicOfficial. I'm sure YouTube is something just like that, where I appeared with editor Joe Hughes, and we talked about the new Sonic the Hedgehog book coming for IDW.
IDW.
Also got to announce the debut of a Sega-exclusive online only series of comics that are tying into the new game coming out this November, Sonic Forces.
Sweet.
It's pretty cool. So between flying to the West Coast, flying back, and having a small adventure getting back, I'm just slap wore out.
Wow.
But and I was thinking.
Also, just now, Ian, by the way, sorry to cut you off. Just now realized what IDW stands for. I just now found out.
And what is that?
Idea and Design Works. I didn't know that.
There we go.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Just a fun fact that I looked up in the middle of the show here. Anyway, carry on. Sorry. Sorry to cut you off. I just thought that was weird. I was like, what does IDW stand for anyway? I just had that weird thought. You know?
Well, I have lots of ideas that are going to be designed, and hopefully they work. So there you go.
Perfect.
But I was thinking, we've talked about the Sonic games in the past.
Indeed, we have.
We've talked about the Sonic cartoons in the past.
Yes.
Since me in relation to Sonic comics is kind of on everybody's mind right now, and I mean everybody, like every single individual in the world, all of them have come together and said, gee, that Ian Flynn and them Sonic books. I figured we'd talk about Sonic comics on this show.
All right. We've done that quite a bit, but hey, you know. Let's cover like as much as we can, I guess.
Yeah, not just, you know, one run, but as many runs as I can think of.
Yeah, let's do it.
But before we get to that, we have a Bumble Raffle winner.
Uh-oh, who is it?
Would you like to tell the kind folks what the Bumble Raffle is?
Oh, sure. I'll tell them what the Bumble Raffle is. The Bumble Raffle is a bi-weekly per episode contest that we do that get you entered to win a special prize from us. And you can enter to win via Patreon just by being a patron over at patreon.com/bumblecast. Or you can email your entry to bumblecast@yahoo.com. Now, keep in mind, all patrons are automatically entered, but you must email your entry into each show if you are not a patron. So, this week's winner is...
Taco El Gato Games!
Congratulations, Taco El Gato. Taco El Gato, that's a good name.
It is, it's fun.
That's a fun name. Yes, you will get your whatever we're sending out these days. I don't know what we're doing anymore. What are we doing, Ian? What are we sending these people?
Special surprises.
Ooh, fancy.
That are also comic related, so.
Perfect.
And if anyone out there has not received their Bumble Raffle prize, please let us know at bumblecast@yahoo.com. We try to be on top of it, but sometimes something slips through the cracks. We actually had someone who won back in episode 50 who just got into us. So please, it's never too late. Just let us know.
Yes, let us know, and we'll get that over to you.
So, I believe we should start at the very beginning. And as far as I know, the very beginning is a up-until-recently obscure Japanese manga.
I am not familiar with it in the least, I don't believe.
It is appropriately enough entitled Sonic the Hedgehog.
But it's convenient.
And it was published by, I apologize to any Japanese listeners, I'm going to butcher this, Shogaku Ninensai?
Sure, we'll go with that.
And now, it's been a while since I've seen the manga itself or any fan translation, so my memory is fuzzy. But I don't think Eggman shows up a whole lot in this, which is kind of odd.
That is weird.
But it focuses on Nikki, who is this nerdy little boy who, through the grace of God, is transformed into the super cool and powerful Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure. We are introduced to his entire family, Polly, his father, Brenda, his mother, and Anita, his sister. And also notable is that Amy, a prototype version of Amy Rose, and an early version of Charmy B show up in this manga.
Really?
Yes. So
Charmy surprises me. Amy, not so much, but Charmy does.
So we have, and I'd have to look at the dates again, but we've got 2/3 of the Chaotix showing up well before Knuckles Chaotix comes out, which is just weird. So at this point, I'm kind of waiting for some weird prototype Espio to emerge, you know?
Yeah, he's the only one, because we have Vector making a cameo in an early Sonic 1 stage select screen.
Exactly.
And
now, the antagonist, Knuckles, of course. Yes, of course. The antagonists primarily seem to be a couple of weird lizard guys. A pair of brothers named Anton and Mad Veruca.
Interesting names.
Yes, and that's what really intrigues me about this whole manga, is that everything about it seems very weirdly Western influenced. Like, the names of the family are very Western. The fact that Sonic transforms in an almost Western comic booky way rather than, I don't know, granted, my understanding and knowledge of Japanese mythos and religion is a little sketchy at best, but it doesn't strike me as quite your usual Super Sentai or mystical trappings of a lot of manga. So, I don't know, it's a really weird manga.
Well, Sonic was originally kind of designed with Western audiences in mind, wasn't he? More than Japanese audiences.
It was supposed to be kind of a merger of the two.
Yeah.
Since he was supposed to be the mascot to dethrone Mario, and the fights between East and West over refining him are legendary. But I don't know. It's just, you would think something published in Japan, and I believe it was official. So you would think they would probably gear it more towards the local audience. But what do I know?
Yeah, that's interesting, actually. I haven't seen or heard anything about that at all, I don't think. If I have, it was years ago, and you said this is fairly recent, so I probably never seen it.
Next on the list, chronologically, as far as I'm aware, is the British comic Sonic the Comic,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
published by Egmont. Now, Sonic the Comic wasn't like a purely Sonic comic. It was a magazine with other Sega franchises showing up, other magazine content, and multiple stories running throughout. It's just Sonic kind of dominated the book after a while.
Sure.
And it was the longest running for a very long time.
Really? It's still kind of running, sort of, right now.
Right. The last official issue was 200-something? And then the fans kind of semi-officially, unofficially continued it with there. I believe it's got kind of the blessing from a number of creatives that have worked on the book.
Yeah.
I never really got too deep into Sonic the Comic, mostly because I wasn't in England.
Right. Yeah. I remember seeing some early, very early panels and some page scans. This was decades ago. of like brown Sonic becoming blue Sonic on a treadmill and stuff like that. That's like the most I've really seen of Sonic the Comic. Just some excerpts from it here and there. I've never really delved into it too much.
It's weird, man. Well, I mean, if you were a fan growing up, it's natural. You read it. What's weird about it?
To be fair, there are some weird things going on in the older books, in the American books.
Exactly. But I don't know. To me, it feels very European, which is casting a gigantic net and is a very gray description, I understand. But
sure, but I kind of know what you mean.
It's almost like each adventure was almost like an episode of Doctor Who, where anything could happen.
Yeah, there's a certain tone to it that I understand. I know what you mean, like by comparing it to like Asterix and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It has a very similar tone to those kinds of books.
That kind of funky sci-fi, wide-open adventure, anything goes, and there's Sonic.
Right.
And while it wasn't necessarily my personal cup of tea, that was not a dig at the Brits, that's just an expression that I like, there were some really fun characters and fun stories in there, so I can definitely see the appeal of it.
Sure.
I also had the tremendous pleasure of meeting with Nigel Kitching, who is one of the most prominent writers in the series. I was at Summer Sonic in London in 2013?
Was it 13, 14? Somewhere around there?
Way back a ways, yeah, sure. Why not?
It was before we started the show, I know that.
Yeah. And very lovely fellow. And I told him, you know, I'm so jealous of you because you came up with the Brotherhood of Metallics.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned this on an earlier episode. Yeah, I remember.
Which, well, I like the story, so I'm telling it again anyway.
That's fine.
Where, if you haven't read Sonic the Comic, basically Metal Sonic took over Little Planet, turned it into a giant Metal Sonic head, and then Metal Sonic Kai from Knuckles Chaotix was this kind of giant master mold leader of this swarm of Metal Sonics. And they were the Brotherhood of Metallics. And I'm like, that is the coolest name in the world. I wish I could use it. And he said, sure, it's yours. I'm like, but maybe not those exact. He said I was free to use it. There we go. That's more accurate. And I would love to, but of course, there's too many legal hurdles and red tape and international stuff and blah, blah, blah. But the fact that the offer was made touched me deeply.
Yes.
So he's a cool bloke. I need to buy him a pint whenever I'm back across the pond at some point.
And now that would be really freaking cool, though, if you could do that, because that idea sounds great.
Oh, the name is fantastic.
The name, just the name itself is awesome, but even the concept is pretty cool.
Then around the late 1990s, when was this? It was before this, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it around? Okay, my dates are all screwed up, but the point is, there was a one-off French comic called Sonic Adventures, which I don't believe was associated with the Dreamcast game. I think this predates it by a fair bit.
Mm-hmm.
Where Sonic and Tails are transported back in time to a remarkably Incan Mayan-styled echidna tribe featuring a princess, Lucien. I may be saying that wrong because I can't speak French to save my life. But the point is, we had echidnas in a tribal setting with South American native overtones before they showed up in Sonic Adventure.
That's
which I don't think anybody really knew about until it started circling on the internet well after the fact.
Huh. Yeah, I've not seen this before either. This is around 1994.
There we go. It predates it by a fair bit.
Yeah.
And again, it's got that kind of European adventure comic feel to it. Not quite as crazy as Sonic the Comic could get.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's a neat little read if you can track it down.
Yeah, for some reason, this art looks really familiar. Did they reuse the art from something somewhere else? It's like, I'm trying to remember, because there were like little Sonic novelizations that had art kind of like this, maybe? Huh. I'm not sure.
Entirely possible. I don't know.
Huh. Yeah, Princess Elusion. Something like that. Hmm. This is fascinating. I'm going to have to look these up when we're done.
And I think that's the kind of the main point I want to get with this particular episode, is that there have been multiple incarnations of Sonic comics in multiple countries, and each one attacks it from a different direction and gives it its own spin, which is not a Sonic pun, I promise.
Mm, come on.
You it sound is, doubtful, sir.
It is now. It's because you had to draw attention to it. If you hadn't said that's not a Sonic pun, oh man, it would have slipped right on by. But since you drew attention to it, I don't know, man.
Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. You'll never know.
Ah.
My point being, there have been a lot of Sonic comics in the past, and it's just been really neat seeing the different kinds and what each one brings to the table and how they all add to the greater Sonic lore.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the elephant in the room, there was the old run of the comics that I was involved in for 10 bloody years.
Oh yeah, that went on for 20 plus years. 25 years, right? I think so. I think it was 91, 92 when it started. It launched pretty soon after Sonic 2, I want to say. Or like yeah, right yeah. before. Somewhere around there. It was around that same time frame.
But I've talked about that book for years and years and years. What was your takeaway of that run?
This is a loaded question. Let's see.
I'm wearing armor.
Sure, sure. I started with issue 13, so I was like super early on. I actually found out about the comics through a friend at school who let me borrow issue, which one was it, 9, that had Pseudosonic, which I didn't realize at the time. Pseudosonic was a rip from the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon.
I seem to remember that issue is almost a shot-for-shot recreation of the cartoon.
It almost is. It adds the Freedom Fighters, though, so it's not quite 100%, but it's pretty close. I do remember being able to get my hands on the original miniseries, 3 issues of it at least. I could not ever find issue 1. I was never able to get issue 1. Issue 0 was like easy to find right there, but issue 1, nope. And 2 and 3, of course, are right there. But yeah, I guess this was even back in the day, even people were like, I want an issue 1, even though issue 0 was right before it, and it was the first one, but what do I know?
You know, those are actually starting to go up in value on the collector's market.
Yeah, well, mine have been well-read and well-loved, so I'm afraid they're not worth very much.
I don't know, because they...
I still have them.
Mostly they were read by, you know, little kids who had no idea of maintaining comics for any value. So, sure, yours are well-read, but you still have them.
Yes, I do.
And I think the last show I was at, somebody found the miniseries where each one was going for like $50 a pop.
Huh. It's okay. I want to keep them, though. I don't want to get rid of them yet.
Sure, sure, sure. I'm just saying, anyone out there who has those, keep them safe. They might actually accrue in value.
Maybe. I would love to get issue number 1, though. I actually just recently had my memory refreshed on what the cover of issue 1 even was. And it's a really cool cover, actually. I was pretty surprised at that issue's cover for some reason. So I definitely would like to get my hands on that one day.
Is that the one where they're all surrounded by various badniks and getting attacked on all sides?
No, I think that was issue 1 of the main run.
Okay.
Yeah, issue 1 is a giant Robotnik in the background with his hands coming around Sonic while he's carrying Sally. It's a pretty cool It's a pretty cool cover, at least for the time. I think that's probably the best looking of the original 4 covers.
Cool.
Although I do have a soft spot also for 0. Because, you know, it's Sonic leaping out of the TV. And then started with issue 13, which is the Sonic 3 adaptation. So that was a big deal in my mind, at least. Because, hey, Sonic 3 just came out. And I was loving Sonic 3, and hey, it was Sonic 3.
It was Knuckles' debut. I'm still mad I don't have that one.
And then I stuck around with it until like issue 63, 64, and then kind of fell off. I think I had just gotten kind of burnt out with it. The Robotnik had been dead for 13 issues, and it was like, I probably just forgot to ask for the subscription to be re-updated, and was kind of out of it until about the time you took over.
I get that a lot.
Yeah. Honestly.
And that's not, you know, to toot my own horn. It's, I have a lot of people who say, yeah, I fell off back around whatever time and then came back when you came on. It's like, well, glad I could grab you.
Well, the thing is that I already knew you.
Well, yeah,
and
yeah,
I knew you before you even took over. So that's kind of the thing. It was like, okay, cool. He's actually in the book now. So let me try reading this. It's like, hey, this is good. I'm going to keep reading it. So I kind of hopped on and off here and there when I could afford it. So, but I was, you know, I kept up pretty well for the last few years, and I've been enjoying the run since its unfortunate end.
Yeah, but the future is bright.
Indeed.
Because, boy, do we have some fun stuff planned. None of which I can talk about just yet.
Of course not. Why would you?
Because, but, in case you hadn't heard, we're going to be starting off with a bang. Because, you know, we've gone without a Sonic book for a whole year, which is just weird.
If you don't count the Sonic Forces tie-ins.
Right. That's enough to tide you over. But that's not associated with IDW.
Sure. I'm just pointing it out that it's out there, and it's by you still. So, hey, it's
Yeah.
Some Ian Flynn, Ian Flynn Sonic comic goodness. Go check it out.
But we are launching the new series with 4 issues in April alone.
Mm-hmm.
So every week, bam, 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 you get that Sonic goodness right there. And then we go back to regular monthly in May, because if we try to keep that up, we're going to kill ourselves. But straight out of the gate, you want that Sonic goodness, we're going to give it to you. 4 issues in April. One after the other.
1 issue a week in April, yeah. That's great.
I'm not quite sure how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it.
That's great. That's awesome.
And I got to say, it feels good getting back into the mix, you know?
Sure.
It's exciting. It's refreshing. It's relieving. It's just, I'm back in my element.
Yes.
It's Sonic Adventures, and I love it. Love it.
I'm glad you're back there. And you're like, you get another fresh start, which may be a little too soon after the previous fresh start, but hey, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good.
It's all I've already got a ever growing notebook of ideas.
What did? I think I saw something about how you had a pitch ready to go, like as soon as it was announced they were doing it or something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I like to work ahead.
Yeah, well, hey,
a year or 5 or so, you know.
When you pretty much got it in the bag, I mean, hey, you might as well.
Oh, while we're talking comics, I wanted to save the IDW stuff for last, but I completely forgot. Second, did a whole slew of little mini mangas focusing on the various individual characters.
Oh, really?
Sonic one, Tails one. There was one devoted to Orbot and Cubot.
Huh.
And the one that really caught everyone by surprise was Styx.
Mm-hmm.
Who seems to have become so popular that she has transcended the barrier between Boom and mainline Sonic.
Really? That excites me, because I love Styx. Styx is the best part of Boom.
I mean, she hasn't shown up in any mainline Sonic stuff yet, but as far as I'm aware, she's on the table, so
I'm ready. We could have, let's see, there was also the Sonic Boom run of comics that you did previously.
I forgot, yes, there also, was that, and also the Sonic really X good, run.
And Sonic X and Sonic Universe. We would be remiss if we did not mention those.
Well, Sonic Universe and Sonic the Hedgehog kind of all go together as one giant unit.
Sure, they all tie in together, but, you know, it's... it's all there. It's still a separate series.
Granted.
And you also did several other tie-ins for games previously that we could mention. Like, you did one for Sonic and the Secret Rings.
I did.
And what other ones have you done?
There was a mini comic in the DS game, Sonic Boom Shattered Crystal.
That's right, yeah. And then, of course, now you're doing Sonic Forces.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Lots of good Sonic comic material.
Indeed, indeed. It's all out there. I'm going to check out some of those older ones, because I'm not familiar with those at all.
They're just, they're kind of quirky, and they're weird, but they're neat, and I love them for it.
Yes. And I'm, of course, really looking forward to the IDW run.
You and me both.
The preview art looks glorious.
Oh, just wait to see who we have lined up.
Oh, boy.
But that's enough teasing.
Yes.
That's enough reminiscing. Let's move forward.
No more knowing smiles here.
No, but they will be on Twitter, I guarantee you.
Aha.
Anyway, we have an ad for this show.
Yes.
If you ever want to have something advertised on the Bumblecast, head over to patreon.com/Bumblecast. We have incentive windows that you can buy your way into. And we will sell pretty much anything on this show.
Pretty much.
This ad comes from our good friend Daniel H. And he says, "We're all aware of the terrible disasters that have befallen many countries in the past few months. Thankfully, Operation Blessing International has been providing relief around the globe in over 39 countries, including Mexico and Puerto Rico. From clean drinking water to food to medical aid, these people have been lending a helping hand for years, and now you can too. Please take a second and visit their website and learn more about them and their work at www.ob.org.
Awesome. All right. Are we ready to get into some Q&A, Ian?
We are always ready to get into some Q&A.
All right. Well, if you want to ask questions to us, you can, of course, email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com, on Twitter using the hashtag Bumblecast, Patreon via comments or messages there, or now you can also comment on YouTube, and I'll be picking out questions from there as we go along. All of this week's questions, except for the priority question that we have, come from YouTube, so just as a heads up, we are taking YouTube questions again, so whenever you got a question, just head on down to the comments and type your question in there, and I'll see it, and maybe we'll answer it. Can't make any guarantees, but hey, we'll do what we can.
I also want to re-stress that if you're asking me something, and believe me, after recent events, I've been getting a lot of questions on Twitter, do not forget to add hashtag Bumblecast.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just ask it out of the blue, I'm going to let it slide, because it's hard enough keeping up with all the questions. Just putting hashtag Bumblecast makes it much easier for us to catalog it all.
Yeah, and speaking of keeping up with questions, it is definitely getting pretty tough to keep up with with everything going on. So if I missed your question, please let me know, and I will do my best to get on it or ask it again in one of those locations. Like, if you haven't heard your question be answered, ask it again, and I'll try and get it on there. Either way, regardless, I am but one man trying to keep track of all these questions, so bear with me. All right, and our first question comes from the priority Q&A. We only have one priority Q&A this week. It comes from Chris A. What is your favorite Saints Row game you've ever played?
Well, I only played the second and the third one. I haven't gotten around to the fourth one or the expansion campaign, and I never played the first one, so my experience with the franchise is notably limited. That being said, I would take Saints Row 2 over Saints Row 3 any day of the week.
I would agree.
I just like the visual aesthetic, I like the diversions, I like the story, I like the characters. I just prefer the presentation of it overall better than Saints Row 3.
Yes. I said I definitely agree with that. It is more grounded, I suppose. Saints Row 3 is when it starts getting real wacky. So if you're not into another Grand Theft Auto clone, then maybe Saints Row 2 is not for you. But I definitely like the story. It is different enough from GTA to be a good experience.
For me, it was the satisfaction of the GTA sandbox style game that took itself seriously enough.
Sure.
But not so seriously that you couldn't do some really fun, wacky stuff.
GTA has some silly stuff, too. I think people forget that.
Sure. But I think Saints Row kind of put the mark on goofy GTA clone before GTA started getting goofy. or at least that level.
No, 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 no. GTA went backwards. GTA started goofy and then got ungoofy. And then got a little goofy again with 5. But yeah, by like 3, it was pretty goofy. Vice City and San Andreas was not super goofy. And then 4 went like not very goofy. And then 5 kind of... Yeah, it kind of went in reverse, because if you play, have you ever played GTA 1 and 2?
No, I've not.
The top-down ones? Those are freaking silly. Yeah. Those are freaking silly. They're ridiculous.
Now, I have heard that Saints Row 4 goes so far beyond the pale in terms of goofiness, that it loops back around to being its own thing.
Yeah.
And that I'm all for. I just feel like 3 was that weird transition where it got too goofy to really be itself, but... still trying to be Saints Row? I don't know. Awkward transition period.
4 went kind of full-on sci-fi superhero-ish kind of thing. It definitely left that Grand Theft Auto realm, which it was different. I like Saints Row 4, but I didn't like it as much as 2 or 3. I don't know why. Because 3 had really good moments that were a lot of fun, and I know 4 has some buried in it, too. It's just I need to play it more. But 2 is definitely... 2 is just really solid overall. There's just something about it that's really good.
It's just a good game.
It is. It really is. Now, one thing I do like that came out of the Saints Row series was someone took voice clips of Laura Bailey as the main female character and used clips of her... and animated them with Lucina from Fire Emblem. So it's pretty hilarious having Lucina be like the character, the main character of the boss from Saints Row 3. It's like, oh boy. It's like, wow, this fits surprisingly well. And I just love Laura Bailey. So anyway, standard Q&A time. On the Bumblecast. This one, all of these, as I mentioned, come from YouTube. So here's one from Diamond Death. Did you guys know that Fang is a Jerboa or a Gerboa? I'm not sure how to pronounce that. And Bean is
Jerboa.
Jerboa, okay. And Bean is a woodpecker. Now that you know this information, will you still be referring to them as a weasel and a duck? Yes.
This kind of falls into the same category as Sharp, who I thought was a chicken, but apparently he's a parakeet, and that somehow makes it worse. Or not necessarily worse, just not as much fun.
Sure.
But that's the obscure Japanese side of things. The Western localization is still wolf slash weasel slash wolf weasel and duck. And I'm not sure if that's being overruled now that they have made their reappearance in Mania or not, or what. So until I get like an official wording from somebody, I'm just going to play it safe and say Fang the Sniper and Bean the Dynamite, because that's their names and that's who they are. And it skirts the question.
So is Knack pretty much been outmoded then as a name for Fang, or
that's my personal approach to it, but if that gets overruled and they want to keep the Western naming tradition, then you know, go with that too. I don't know, we'll see how it goes.
Okay. I don't know which name I prefer. I think I prefer Knack, but I don't know.
See, I like them both equally. I just don't know which one is counts more canon.
Sure. And Bean is a duck. That Bill is definitely a duck.
Yeah, but he's got that forward woodpecker attack.
Yeah, but he's also based on Dynamite Ducks, the Sega game.
Yeah, but in Fighters Megamix, the alternate costume that turns him into Ben, his beak actually changes to be more duck-like. It's not just a color swap. His model actually changes.
But he's already got, like, a duck bill in
It's kind of pointy. And he's got that big forward woodpecker-like head floof.
This is weird. Why are we arguing about furry characters?
Feathery character.
Okay.
And because Bean is the best.
Bean is the best, so it really doesn't matter what what he is. He's the best.
He is the dynamite.
We need a Bean and Sticks comic arc. Just the two of this is two of them.
Oh dear.
All right. Let's get into our next question. This one comes from Clay A. I'm still skeptical about IDW Sonic, especially about the mandates. Would you say that they are looser or stricter than what came before?
Number one, I've been hearing folks bellyache about the mandates.
The mandates. Mm-hmm.
And aside from some nuancey things that would never be allowed anyway, they never really got in the way all that much. We enjoyed a huge amount of creative freedom in the old run. Mm-hmm. And it's looking to be at least the same amount of creative freedom, if not more, with the IDW run. Now, if by mandates you mean stuff like Sonic can never settle down with Amy because that's your OTP, sorry, that's not going to change. Because that is what the franchise is. Sure. It is... She chases him, he's not interested, that's how it goes. That is what the status quo is. Mm-hmm. And other stuff should be kind of a no-brainer because you don't need to be going in and upheaving the very basis of the franchise. You can build around it and build upon it. So I didn't really chafe before, and I think we're going to be just fine here. Let's not worry about what cannot be. And just enjoy the fact that it's a Sonic comic and it's fun.
I think people are getting confused about publisher mandates versus license holder mandates, too. I think that's where this is coming from. They're like, are they worrying about IDW being stricter than what came previously? And it's just weird. It's like the publisher does have their own mandates, but the license holder is the one that really comes down with all that stuff. So I don't know. Are you going to really see too much of a difference? You just said that you're not going to really see too much of a difference with Sega.
No, I mean,
with IDW
it's
versus
still very
what came
early
before.
On.
Sure.
Just getting started, but I am not cringing or bracing for anything. I am writing Sonic and I'm having a blast.
Sure.
So I think what it is people are taking the little bits that have trickled out over the years and are treating them like hard and fast rules that are like engraved into our bones so we could never go against them.
Right.
They're guidelines. And sometimes those guidelines shift or change or don't have the same priority from one comic to the next. It's not like there is one giant massive tome written in magical gold ink. Thou shalt not have Sonic cry. It's not like that. It's, you know, keep Sonic in character. And Sonic is not a weepy type of character.
Sure.
That's just not how he deals with negative emotions. So it'll be fine. Trust me.
Yes. And IDW tends to be pretty open creatively, I've noticed reading some of their stuff.
Yeah, so
they're good. They're pretty cool. They're pretty awesome. So, yeah. I'm excited about IDW. IDW is great. I'm not just saying this because they're taking over Sonic. I have actually been a big I've been a big fan of IDW ever since I started getting back into comics. So the stuff that they've been doing has been excellent. So I'm pleased that Sonic is going there. It makes sense. All right. And the last question comes from D. Hein. Is it true Sally Acorn may be in limbo if she doesn't join the 2018 launch of the IDW Sonic the Hedgehog comic book?
As has been said since the announcement by multiple folks, this is a new book with a new publisher, which is full of possibilities.
You might even say endless possibilities.
I keep wanting to use that, but I've already trotted it out like 5 times, so I think it's getting a little tired.
Okay, whatever. Hey, I did it this time.
Just don't worry. It's going to be a great Sonic book. Pick it up, read it, enjoy it. You'll love it.
Anyway,
okay.
That's it for the Q&A this week on the Bumblecast.
Before we wrap up the show, we're going to give a shout out to every patron who makes this show possible. We're going to see my continued attempts to do this in one breath. We'll see how it goes. Big thank you to Daniel H, Alex P, Zephyr Flame, Chris A, Damo, John B, Sam Cyberkite, Matt B, Connell T, Samuel P, Justin G, Jennifer R, David C, Revan the Light, Diane W, Lisa M, Today's Passenger, Artendi M, Scruffy Man, Lee H, K, James G, Chevelle, Don B, Sin, Fritz, Frogman, Taco Elgato Comics, John M, Ashton Vardovich, 9X, James K, Everything Phelps, Adam Bryce Thomas, and Ron Tuey!
Oh, man, I was on the edge of my seat like, oh, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it?
But thank you all
so close
for making the show possible.
So close. You guys need to, we need more patrons. We need more patrons. Then Ian will be able to do it.
Yeah, that's
exactly what we need, is more patrons.
So I'm kind of like a clown car. The more you cram in, the better I...
Yes, it's perfect. That's ideal. It's perfect. Anyway.
Do not take that quote out of context. I will find you.
All right. Ian, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Ian Flynn BKC or online at www.bumbleking.com. That has my full portfolio and everything I've got going on right now.
And in April, of course, we'll be able to find you in the IDW Sonic the Hedgehog comics.
That's right. But I'm going to be writing a ton of stuff. So check out bumbleking.com to see what else I got coming up.
Yes, yes. Do that.
And what about you, Kyle? Where can the fine people find you?
You can find me at KyleJCRB on Twitter, or over at KNGI.org, where you can find archived episodes of this show and many others, including my regular video game music remix show, Nitro Game Injection, which streams live every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on 8bitx.com. You can also find Twitch streams several times a week at twitch.tv/BumbleCastGaming, and we've got Patreon-exclusive BumbleCast Gaming live streams every Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Been having a lot of fun with those.
Yeah, we have. And if you want to support us even further, you can go over to spreadshirt.com/bumblestore and get yourself something nice, like a t-shirt or a ball cap, perhaps a coffee mug, phone protector, something, but it will be emblazoned with the logo of the Bumblecast, Bumblecast Gaming, or BumbleKing.com.
Indeed. And I think you can also find that if you head on over to BumbleKing.com, and on the top is a merchandise link right there. So go grab that and check it out.
This has been Bumblecast Episode 54. We thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you in 2 weeks for Bumblecast Episode 55.
55. Shigadishwa, 55. Shigadishwa, shigadishwa, twat, twat. 55.
55. Actively listening, not just conversing, you know?
What? What? Listening? We do that on this show? Man, I don't know what I mean. I don't listen to a word you say.
Well, good.
I'm sorry,
that's
what?
That's why I get away with so much.
What was that? What? I didn't hear that.
Hi there, and thanks for listening to the Bumblecast. If you liked our show, be sure to hit the subscribe button and consider supporting us on Patreon. We have some great rewards as well as big plans on how to make the show even better. Also, rate and review our show on iTunes. It gets more folks listening and helps us out, so we definitely appreciate it. Original music composed by Ken Coda Snyder, used with permission. Find more of his music at bc.s3m.us and find the theme song at noisechanradio.bandcamp.com, available as a pay-what-you-want download.
It's just a comic. You should really just relax.